When you're young in life, you have this idealistic, optimistic view of your future and how everything is going to be wonderful. Then life starts happening. Then all of a sudden someone says to you, "I hate you. I don't love you anymore. I wished I never had you." You find you've got baggage. It's not a lot of baggage. You can handle it. You can compensate. You can live with it. And so you begin to move on again. Then you find out, as life goes on, your best friend betrays you. The person that says they're a Christian doesn't act like a Christian. And then all of a sudden, the one that loves you says, "I don't love you anymore." You've got more baggage. You try to work with it. You try to adjust it. Hold on. Do the best you can. But your heart's scarred and your brain's scarred. And you try to convince yourself that the words, the hurtful words of others aren't true. Play the videotapes in your own mind of what people said to you. And you believe, "I am ugly. I'll never have God's best. I'll never have intimacy. I'll never fulfill my dreams. I'll never be loved. I'll never have anyone that cares for me." And then more negative tapes start playing in your mind. "I'm not good enough. No one loves me. I can never trust anyone. I'll never have the intimacy that I want. No one loves me. My life is messed up. I can never, ever have God's best." And then more baggage. It hurts. Life becomes heavy. You start to wonder if it's worth going on. Your relationships sour. You've got so much baggage, it's hard to do life according to God's principles. You come to a place in time where either you're going to carry the baggage on and try to make it for the rest of your life, or you come to a place and you say, "God, you just got to help me. You've got to take all this baggage." Welcome to our new series. It's called Baggage. Everybody has some. You've got some. Hope it's just a carry-on, but most likely it's like that. Stand with me. Let's give Him a prayer and a praise, and let's study God's Word together. Father, thank You for the opportunity that we have just to come together and just to worship You. I sense we've all already felt Your Spirit, Your love. I ask You now, Lord, that You teach us through the wonders of Your Word. Teach us so that our minds can be renewed. Teach us so that we can be delivered. I ask You to help us all. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you love Him, give Him a shout and a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. Baggage happens to us all. Everybody has some. Even King David had baggage. Let me read to you the scripture. It's in Psalms 109. Verse 22, and it says, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded, wounded within me." And then in the New Living Translation, it says it this way, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is full of pain." Now David's not talking here about a physical wound. He is talking, though, about something that's just as serious and just as crippling. It's the wounds that we all get in life as we do life. People say things, people do things to us that wound us and fill us with pain. I meet people all the time with a heart full of pain, with hearts that are wounded, and so do you. And in fact, many of you have a heart full of pain right now. You have a heart that's wounded. Because something happened. You had an experience in life that gave you baggage. It happens to us all. It's not that abnormal. It's actually very normal. Even King David, the man after God's own heart, the anointed one, the leader of the people of God, had baggage. A wounded heart. A heart that was full of pain. So what we want to do is we want to talk about this over the next couple of weeks. See, baggage affects our lives. It affects our lives in a desperate way. What baggage does is gives us addictions. What baggage does is give us emotional problems. What baggage does is cause us to be distressed. It causes us to be depressed. It blinds us so that we can't face reality in life. It even stops us by filling us with pride that we can't even talk about our baggage. We won't even realize that we even have baggage. It keeps us from getting help about our baggage. It creates even more baggage. Many people in life never experience a good life because of baggage. In fact, if you think about it, the people who have horrible lives are full of baggage. Baggage is bad. So what we want to do is to get delivered from it. Let me read you this. It's in the same psalm. It's the verse before I just read you that David said. David said this in Psalms 109, verse 21. He says, "But you, O sovereign Lord, deal well with me." Help me, Lord. Deal with me. Deal well with me. For your name's sake, deal well with me so that I can be a blessing. A blessing to you, a blessing to people. For your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. Would you say that back to me? Deliver me. One more time. Deliver me. See, we have this horrible idea about being delivered. But do you realize that one of the main reasons that any of us become Christians is so that we can experience deliverance? So that we can be set free from all the stuff that's happened in our past and live an abundant, fulfilled life? Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the idea is to be delivered. But we don't even want to talk about the baggage. Deliver us. Deliver me, he said. Give me a garbage dump. A garbage so that I can dump my baggage. A baggage dump. I want to dump it, Lord. Deliver me. We got to allow the Lord to deliver us. We got to allow the Lord to deal with our baggage. So during the next few weeks, I want to talk about baggage, and I want to talk about these things. And next week, I want to talk about the addictions of baggage, the baggage addictions. Addictions. People have addictions. Big ones and little ones. But we have addictions, and it's baggage. I want to talk about the baggage of emotional baggage. We have emotional baggage that weights us down, messes our minds up. Addiction baggage messes our bodies up. Emotional baggage messes our minds up. And then there's depression, the baggage of depression. I want to talk about that. But today, what I really want to emphasize and get you to do for me, if you will, is just simply acknowledge and come to a place that you can say, I have baggage. And come to a place of saying, I really want to deal with it. This is my goal today. In Job 7:11, it says this, and everybody knows the story of Job, right? I mean, he had some baggage. It says this, "Therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." What Job is saying, I have got some bitterness in my soul. In my spirit, I am in anguish. I am in pain. And he says, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about it. I will speak out about it. I'm going to come to a place in my life where I can speak out. You see, if you're like me, you don't want to talk about baggage. You know you have it. You just don't want to talk about it. He said, I want you to think I'm perfect. I know you know I'm not perfect, but I want you to think I'm perfect. And that's how most of us think. We don't want anybody opening our closets. We don't want anybody looking in our suitcases and seeing our baggage. That's how I am. But if we refuse to even acknowledge that we have baggage, how will we ever be delivered from it? So we've got to come to a place where we acknowledge that we have baggage. You'll never reach your full potential until you acknowledge the things that are holding you back, until you realize the baggage. If you don't acknowledge it, what you will do is try to struggle through life carrying all this stuff, all this baggage. Doors of opportunity will open, but you won't be able to get through them because of all the baggage. We were making this video, and Judy was wanting me to do a part where I was trying to get in the church with all the baggage. It would have been great to, I don't know why we didn't do it that way, but come in the front door with all that baggage and then get delivered from it in here. But, you know, I don't know that that's always the case. I don't know that you got to be here to get delivered from baggage. I believe if you do what we're going to talk about today, that you'll acknowledge your baggage and you'll begin a process that will deliver you from it. So if you don't acknowledge it, what you're going to do is you're going to struggle through life with it. What happens with baggage is it always causes you to hurt the very people you love. It does, and it creates more baggage because you've upset them. Now they're going to say mean things back to you and give you more baggage. And baggage creates baggage. And so until we're able to realize that we have baggage and go through the process of getting delivered from the baggage, we're going to try to make it through life struggling. We're never going to fulfill our full potential. We're never going to experience the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And remember, one of the reasons that we become Christians is not just so when we die we can go to heaven. Now that's all good and well, and don't mishear me. That is wonderful. But it's so you can have an abundant life now. And one of the reasons that people don't have an abundant life now is because there's so much baggage. Baggage. So what or who made your soul bitter? Job talked about he was speaking from the bitterness of his soul and the anguish of his spirit. Who hurt you? You need to acknowledge that. Who made you bitter? What addictions control you? You've got to acknowledge these things. What baggage are you carrying? See, what I'm wanting to say here is don't allow pride, and pride is a baggage, don't allow pride to keep you from experiencing the goodness that God has for you, the deliverance that He wants to give each of us. Don't allow the enemy to keep manipulating you with your baggage. Acknowledge the baggage. Find some place to get rid of it. Now, Judy and I have discussed this a little bit, and see, I think that life groups are a good place to dump baggage. I think it's a small setting, but I've been in life groups before where we keep talking about the same person's baggage over and over and over, and they never really get delivered from the baggage that they have. So it has to keep moving on, but at the same time, there's a spot in life groups where we can acknowledge baggage and get and but mostly I think in a life group setting, what happens in a life group with baggage is that you can become accountable to somebody else and they can help you with your baggage. So that's a good place to dump baggage. Another good place to dump baggage is with friends, and I'm careful who I dump baggage on. I've got some good friends that preacher buddies that understand some of the things that I experience and that I go through. And so I'll get around them. I'll dump baggage and they'll dump baggage on me. So there are places, and sometimes you need professional help. You don't want to do it in a life group setting, or you don't want to do it with friends, then find a professional situation. My point in this is that it's not important where you dump baggage. The huge importance is that you do dump your baggage. Find some place to dump it. Find a place to get that out of you, acknowledge it, and get done with it. We're talking about David in Psalms 109. Let me show you again what he says here in Psalms 109, verse 31. For he, speaking here of the Lord, stands at the right hand of the needy one to save his life from those who condemn him. The Lord wants to help us. Nothing condemns our lives more than baggage. Nothing. Nothing will mess our life up more than baggage. Nothing robs us. Nothing makes us hurt, and nothing causes us to hurt other people more than baggage. And what that verse says is that the Lord is ready to help you. And I pray that before you leave here today, you've made your mind up to realize that He's at your right hand. He's that close. And He's saying, I want to help you. I want to get you through this. I want you to be able to dump your baggage. The Lord's here. How many has already felt Him here? Have you felt His presence here? Amen. He's here, and He wants to help us. And one of the reasons that we become Christians again, and I'm going to hit this four or five times, I hope, is until we get it, is so that we can be delivered. Delivered doesn't mean you got to have hands laid on you and devils cast out of you. It doesn't mean you got to puke up stuff. It doesn't mean that stuff. See, we've got these strange images. But we just need to be delivered from baggages sometimes, right? It's just that simple. So, what is your baggage? Everybody has some. What is yours? Relationships cause a lot of baggage. Relationships that have gone awry. Maybe you had a relationship that betrayed you. I was thinking about this, relationships, relatives. Do you know that 1 out of 4 girls are sexually molested? That, you know what that means? What I just said is that 1 out of every 4 women in this room has been sexually molested as a young girl. What this has done to you is create baggage. It happened to you when you were little and young, and you're carrying this baggage all your life. It's caused you to build walls up around your heart. You won't let anybody in. It affects every decision you make. It affects the processing that you go through. It affects your marriage. It affects every relationship. You can't trust people. And you're carrying this baggage. You even wonder if you weren't the fault, if you weren't the blame, if it wasn't your fault that it all happened. No, it wasn't your fault. But you see, you're carrying this baggage, and until you come to the place that you acknowledge it and begin to dump it, it's going to affect you to the day you die. Maybe you had a bad relationship with a spouse. Said they loved you. Then all of a sudden, they're gone. I don't love you anymore. Maybe it was a relationship with a friend who betrayed you. Baggage. Maybe it was a parent. But we all have baggage. And it will totally devastate our lives unless we deal with it. Another kind of baggage that people have a lot of is self-esteem. Self-esteem baggage is just unbiblical. See, what self-esteem does is cause you to think little of yourself. I want you to know you're the head and not the tail. You're the top and not the bottom. You are a child of the Most High God. And I want you to know you are somebody. But you see, what baggage does to you is tell you you're nobody. Tells you you're not worthy. Tells you you're not worth it. You're not good for anything. And so it begins to affect how you think people think about you. And it goes beyond that. It begins to affect your appearance. And eventually it will affect your physical body. Eventually, it'll make you sick, and eventually, it will kill you. See, I'm not just talking about little stuff here. I'm talking about baggage that is detrimental to our spirit and to our soul and to our body. And if we don't dump it, it affects us. Another kind of a baggage that we have is addictions. People have addictions. Addictions. And if you have an addiction, you're not even sure you want to dump that baggage. That's your master. And you love your master. You worship that master. So you're not even sure you want to dump that baggage. I pray that before our series is over, that you have. You see, God created everything good. But when we abuse it and it becomes an addiction to us, it controls us and we don't control it. Another one is that we struggle with, another baggage we have is spiritual baggage. We sit under bad teaching. We become legalistic. We become critical. How many would agree with me that some of the most critical people you know are Christians? Hello? We should be some of the most positive, the most uplifting, the most edifying people, but instead, sitting under bad teaching causes people to be critical, talk about one another. Maybe you've been around some of those belligerent hypocrites, and it's affected your relationship with church, relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've said, if that's what church is, I'm not going. You see, and some people suffer that. Maybe you know somebody that suffers through that kind of stuff. You see, that will affect, that kind of baggage, spiritual baggage, will affect your salvation. If it's affected somebody to the point they won't even go to church, they could end up in hell. We're talking serious stuff. That's the seriousness of baggage. So the first step, and on the back of your gateways, have you some places to fill in. Hope you will. Hope you'll learn from this series and let it be a blessing to you. But the first step in being set free is to acknowledge your baggage. Acknowledge your baggage. So I want us to be open and I want us to acknowledge it. So I'm going to open one of my suitcases and acknowledge one of my baggages. When I was a young preacher, I started this in 1985. When I was a young preacher, it really devastated me and hurt me. It hurt my heart. It filled my heart with pain. It wounded my heart when people would reject me. People would reject the ministry. When people would say awful things about me. It really got to me. I've told you before, I couldn't look at people in the eye. It affected me tremendously. And it got to where it was a common occurrence. It seemed like every week I was hearing something else bad about me. And it's not any fun, you know. And it kept my heart wounded, and I became defensive, which made it worse. So I'm defending myself, and I'm causing more things to be said. And people would come to the church, and I was thinking I was doing a good job ministering to them and loving them. And all of a sudden, you know, they leave, and all of a sudden I have all this rejection and all this stuff. And so I'm battling with it, and it's really bothering me, you know. And so I asked the Lord what David did. I said, Lord, you know, help me. Show me what's going on here. And he did. And it went way back, and most of our baggage does. Most of the things that really bother us go way back. Went way back to when I graduated from college. I graduated from college and I went to work with a company called Dundee Mills. It was a big textile operation in Griffin, Georgia. And I went to work there and I was in time management. And now what that means is, in time management, is that you follow people around with a stopwatch. And you can imagine how much those people like to see me coming with my stopwatch, and I was following. And what my job was to do was to find people who didn't have a full job, and to make sure they did have a full job. And so when they saw me coming, they knew immediately that they were about to get more duties added to their workload. And the amazing thing is, hardly anybody had a full job load. Most people were getting paid for 8 hours and only working 4 or 6. And it was amazing to me how that worked out. But anyway, these people didn't like me not one bit. And I had a lot of pressure. I had a pressure from management, of course, who wanted to get the most bang for their buck. So they put pressure on me to find these people. Of course, the employee hated it when I came up there. They hated me because I was the problem, not the management. But I got the blame for it. I was the person they could get mad with, you know. And so I had pressure from them. And then also their supervisor. I had this happen to me 2 times. I went on the job. And I walked up to an individual and said, with my stopwatch, and I said, I'm going to be with you today. And they said, no, blank, you're not. And used some other adjectives to let me know that if you start following me, I'm out the door. I'll quit. And that happened twice. People actually quit when they saw me coming. I never remember doing one of those studies where there wasn't confrontation. But I did really well with it. And I would have to confront the individual, and I'd have to get into this stuff, you know, with them. But I did really well. And management liked that I had a no-nonsense deal about me, and I was confrontational. And so they took me immediately. They rewarded me, and they took me, and they put me in management training. Now, I was like the youngest person ever. I was only like 19 years old or something, 20 years old. And so they took me, and they put me in management training to have my own shift. I was like the youngest one ever. And so they gave me my shift. Now, I went on that shift, on the third shift, already knowing that people don't have a full job. So instead of wanting to give them more to do, I just demanded, I mean literally demanded, I demanded that they ran their job and got production. And I wanted a little bit more than production. I wanted to break records. I wanted to be the best there was. And so I had this confrontation thing going on, and I had this pressure going on, and I had this pressure from my supervisors, and I had this confrontation going on with my employees. And of course, you get into all of this stuff, but I did really, really well. I became the poster boy for the mills. I mean, I was the supervisor poster boy. I went, and I know most of you don't know anything about cotton milling. But I went for 8 years on the second and third shift and never stopped a job. Now, let me explain that to you just a second. Because on the first shift, you can get people to come in. On the first shift, you can pull somebody off the second shift or the third shift, and they'll come in and work for you on the first shift. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's very difficult to get somebody to come to work for you. But I did it for 8 years. I never stopped a job. I'd say, can you come and give me an hour? Can you come and give me 2 hours? What can you do? Will you just do a little? And I would figure a way of getting it done. And I became the poster boy. And when other plants or other supervisors would stop off a job, then my name was thrown to them. Well, listen, Delbert Young doesn't do it. If you go find him and find out how he does it, and you do what he does. And I was having all this pressure and conflict and confrontation, not only from employees, but I was having it from other supervisors. I was all this, but I handled it. I had a no-nonsense attitude and a confrontation attitude, and I was developing this, and people were rewarding me for this. I began to equate in my mind, confrontation equals rewards. Confrontation gets me rewarded. And I began to feed on that. Seemed the more confrontational I was, the higher I went, the more money I made, the better I was appreciated. And they rewarded me again, and they put me on the first shift as an overseer in a brand new setup. It was the knitting area, and we were just stepping into that. So they put me in there, and I was doing my confrontation pressure thing and doing really, really well. And so I had this need to confront because I equated confrontation and pressure with success. And that's the attitude I had when I went into the ministry. But it doesn't work in the kingdom. It was because of that attitude, because of trying to run a church like you run a business, it was because of that attitude that people would say these horrible things about me. Not just about me, but to me. It was because of that attitude that my heart hurt and my heart was wounded. It was because of that attitude. It was because of that attitude that my heart was filled with pain. It wasn't anything they did. It was something I did. But it's all I knew. I'd been trained to be this way. And now I was trying to do something totally different, and I didn't know how. And I did what David did. Lord, you got to show me. Show me. Help me. I want this to stop. And so he did. So it was funny how it worked out. I was at the time studying the Temple of Solomon. And I'd run into these creatures called the cherubim. And they had these four faces, you know. And I was saying, I couldn't make a lick of sense out of that stuff. What in the world are these guys doing? You know, they're embroidered here, embroidered there. What is this about? I couldn't make any sense of it. So anyway, I ended up going to a conference, and it was all really weird how it worked out, but it just shows you how God will work it out when you ask Him to help you. I went to a conference, and the speaker maybe said two or three sentences about those cherubims, hooked it up with temperaments, and all of a sudden, there was something inside of me that went off. And from that time till now, I've been in the process of being delivered from my confrontation attitude. Most of you are familiar with my temperament study. I came home that night, came home late. I remember getting in the bed. Judy asked me how it went, and I couldn't stop talking. Just that little bit that I had learned. I could not stop talking about this, and I knew there was something here. And I knew there was something that could change me if I found out what it was. Temperament. God showed me how important my temperament, my understanding, my temperament would be. You see, most of us use temperament study to justify our baggage. Well, bless God, this is how God made me, so you just got to put up with me, bless God. But see, the whole thing about Christianity is not about justifying your baggage, but dumping your baggage. And so as I began to study that, I found out I was a lion temperament. Boy, oh, hallelujah, I'm a lion. You know what that means? That means you're just going to go around making people mad. You're just going to go around, they're going to get mad at you, say mean things to you, hurt your heart, wound your heart. It means you're more important, you're more interested in production than you are the person. You're more important, interested in being successful than you are the heart of the person. That's what that means. God began to deal with me. God began to show me. Listen, Delbert, here's the problem. I've been in a process since that time. I've been in a process of being delivered. And all of a sudden, I look back at myself now and I'm thinking, I am not that same person. I'm not that guy anymore. I know I look different, but I'm not even the same person. I don't think like that. I can still be confrontational. I can still do it, but man, I don't want to. I hate confrontation now. I've learned that it's not when you can do it some other way, it's far better. I don't. And since I began doing that, people don't talk about me like they used to. They don't hate me like they used to. They don't say these awful things about me like they used to. And all of a sudden, my heart's getting healed. And I've dropped this baggage. What I want you to see is that God will help you. And the first thing you've got to do is recognize you've got a problem. And acknowledge that you have baggage. And the second thing that you got to do, let me give you this one so you can fill it in. Second thing you got to do is just ask the Lord to show you from where your baggage came. It's one thing just to know you got it, but how did I get it? Because you see, it's so much easier to deal with it when you know who you got to forgive or what you got to fix. And so ask the Lord from where the baggage came. It's so much easier. See, we're talking about David and we were talking about Job. And here's what Psalms 143, David says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love." I want to start over. I want a new day. Let the sunrise come. Let there be a new start, a new beginning here. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. For I have put my trust in you. Show me. Would you say that back to me? Show me. Now see, I've asked you to do two things. Say back to me. Deliver me. And now show me. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Just leave that one right there for a second. I lift up my soul to you, Lord. I want to bear my soul to you. Here's my bitterness. Here's my complaint. Here's my wounds and my hurt. Now show me. Job, and all of his stuff, said this: teach me, and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong. I want to try to say something. I don't want you to think that because you have baggage, it was necessarily that you did something wrong. For example, I used that while ago about the 1 in 4 girls being sexually molested. I want you to know you did nothing wrong. But to carry that for the rest of your life is wrong. You're not helping you. You're not helping your husband. You're not helping your children. You're not helping the kingdom of God. You need a baggage dump. That's what's wrong, is when we don't dump it. Sometimes we can't help how it happened. See, I was trained to be that way. I couldn't help how I was trained. But I wanted the Lord to show me, and He did. And He showed me it was wrong not to change. It was wrong not to baggage dump. It was wrong not to be delivered. The next thing, that's number two. Number three is this. The next thing necessary for a baggage dump is change how you think. Not only did I get delivered from that, and I acknowledged it, and I asked the Lord to show me, but I found out I began to think differently. I allowed the Word of God and understanding how the Word of God works to change how I think. I don't think that way anymore. It's so important. See, God wants to change. He wants to change us and make us different by changing how we think. That's why we come into the kingdom of God. Some people come into the kingdom of God and they don't change an inch. They'll serve the Lord for 50 years or say they're serving Him, but they never change. Let me show you this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How are you transformed? How are you changed? By the renewing of your mind. That's the only way it's going to happen. What that simply means is you got to think differently. You got to let the Word of God change how you think. You got to start thinking like the Word of God teaches us to think. Reading it to you from the New Living Translation, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." That's amazing to me. You can have the same body, but be a different person. You can have a renewed mind, not even think about the baggage the way you used to think about it. The way God changes us is by changing how we think. Ask the Lord to change how you think. And then allow the Word of God to do it for you. Acknowledge it. Know you got it. Make sure then that you recognize that you have it. Then ask the Lord to show you from where it came. And then the third thing is make sure you change your mind. Now that sounds difficult. And it's a whole lot easier to say it than it is to do it. And it takes some time to do it. But it is possible, especially if you'll do number four. Now, number four is the real key. Number four is this. Release your offender. Let me back up one scripture because I need to make sure I get this one. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22 says this. Throw off your old evil nature and former way of life, which is rotten through and through. Full of lust and deception. How many know we got some stinking thinking? Get rid of it. There must be. There what be? There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. Again, the reason that we come into the kingdom of God, the reason that we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, is to change us, is to deliver us. It's not just so that when we die, we go to heaven. There should be a transformation. There should be in the way we think. There should be a baggage dump going on all the time in our lives. Now, number four. Let me work on number four. Release your offender. Colossians 3:13 says this. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive what? Whatever grievance. Forgive what? Whatever grievance you have against one another. Forgive, look at this, as the Lord forgave you. How are you to forgive it? You don't want to say that, do you? How are you to forgive it? As the Lord forgave you. How many of us have ever had somebody who really offended us and hurt us bad? How did you forgive them? Did you forgive them this way? As you want the Lord to forgive you? If you didn't, you got baggage. You see, we have this idea that when somebody really hurts us and sins against us, that we have permission, we have the right to do back to them vengeance. That you hurt me, I hurt you back, and that's okay. We think like this. We think, you lied about me, so I can lie about you. You spread gossip about me, so I can, come on, I can spread gossip about you. Oh, you're going through a bad time in life, aren't you? Oh, ha, 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 you had a car wreck. You had this bad thing to happen in your life. Oh, ha, 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 God's just getting even with you for messing with me. This is kind of how we think. We rejoice in somebody else's afflictions, especially when they hurt us. And we think that's permissible. I want to say something, and I really want you to get this one. Because somebody sinned against you does not give you permission to sin. Hello? Because I sin doesn't, first of all, give you permission to sin, right? Even if I sin against you, that does not give you permission to sin. We have this idea that it's okay. God will forgive us. No, because if you don't forgive somebody else, help me, He doesn't forgive you. This is serious. Because somebody sins against you and hurts you badly does not give you permission to sin. Because if you do, then you're sinning. I've been in ministry all these years, and you know, it's interesting. I've had so many opportunities where I could talk about people, I could blast people, They gossiped about me. I should be able to gossip about them. They lied about me. I should be able to lie about them. They hurt me. I should be able to hurt them back. But if you know me, you know I don't do that. You see, life will do one of two things to you. Life will make you bitter, or life will make you better. I choose to allow life to make me better. I refuse to sin when somebody sins against me. If you'll do those four things, if you will acknowledge it, realize that you've got baggage, and we all have some, even if it's a carry-on case. Number two, if you'll ask the Lord to show you from where it came so that you can properly deal with it. Number three, ask Him to help you change the way you think. And then number four, if you'll forgive your offender, release your offender, you're going to have a baggage dump. You'll be free from that stuff. We're at the point in the service where we're real or we're fake. And some of you came in, hopefully with one or two carry-ons, but probably not. Probably got lots of baggage. And it gets tough handling it sometimes. Work it around so you can carry all this dadgum baggage. This one's bothered me the whole service. I don't know who put it up here. Put it up here backwards. And we try to go through life. Baggage. Try to go through the doors of life. Can't hardly work through. Doors of opportunity. Carry his baggage to church. Walk in with all this baggage. Walk out with all this baggage. What I'm trying to get you to see today is if you'll allow the Lord to show you your baggage, if you'll realize that you have it, if you'll acknowledge it, then number two, if you'll ask Him from where it came so you can deal with it, number three, ask Him to change how you think. And number four, let your offender be released. You could have a baggage dump. Now, I don't want to project it like it's going to happen that fast. I've been in a process all these years. But I began. And I'm nearly done with that one. But I'm trying to tell you, if you don't start today, you'll never get rid of it. If nothing else, at least begin today. Get one bag at a time if you have to. But get rid of that baggage. Because all it will do for you is hurt you in life. All it will do for you is cause you to hurt your people you love and the people that love you. All it will do for you is cause you to add more baggage to your life and make life more difficult. God is here at the right hand of you. He wants to deliver you if you'll let Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. So, Delbert, I got baggage. I've had it all these years. And it really does bother me. I think about it daily or weekly. Sometimes I can make it a month, but I still have this stuff going on. My heart hurts and my mind hurts. I'm full of pain. I want to get rid of it. I'm tired of thinking about it. I want to know where it came from. I want to ask the Lord to change the way I think about it. And I want to release my offender. That's you today. You're really to acknowledge that you got some baggage that you need to dump. Would you raise your hand? Just encourage me if for nothing else. I see hands all over the place. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hands. Okay, hold them up. Let me pray for you. Father, everybody's being honest. They're acknowledging their baggage. Now, Father, I pray we do step two, that you'll show us from where it came so we can deal with it. I pray, Lord, that we'll go number three, you'll change the way we think so we won't even have a renewed mind like it never happened. And then number four, Lord, we'll release the person that offended us. And we'll go on with you free, with our hands in the air, not struggling with baggage, but our hands lifted to you. And I ask you to bless us now in Jesus' name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. I want you to ask you now, maybe you're away from the Lord. You know you're not where you need to be. You see, until you get close to the Lord and He's at your right hand and you let Him into your life, you're going to struggle with this all your life. You're gonna constantly be struggling with your baggage. But if you'll come in right now and let Him be your Lord and your Savior, I promise you He will do for you what He's done for me. What He's done for me, He will deliver you. How many would say right now, Delbert, I need to be closer to the Lord. I need to have a baggage dump, and I want the Lord to help me. Would you raise your hand right now for me? Just let me pray with you. I see your hands. Any others? Any others? Any others? I see one, two. I see one right here in the front, one in the back. Any others? Any others? Let me pray for you. Father, right now, I bless these people. Lord, I ask You in the name of Jesus that You'll draw them in now. Lord, that they will let You into their life. And they will be a blessing to the kingdom of God. I want everybody in here to pray this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Direct me and guide me. Deliver me. Let me be a servant of the Most High. I receive You, and I let You lead me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Rejoice, church. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap.